The Buddhists and the Hindus call it karma. It's a word that you hear an awful lot in popular culture. It's defined as basically what goes around comes around. Christians have understood this for centuries. It's called divine justice. We'll get out of life what we put into it. We're going to receive a reward, obviously, through grace for doing God's will. But if we participate in the works of sin and darkness, that is, the works of death, then what is it that we can expect but death? And that's simply how things work. If we decide, however, to be generous persons, if we open up our hearts and our minds to goodness, to the willingness to serve the Lord, then we find that God will give us life in return. It's not to say that we're going to get what we want, but God will certainly give us all the good things that are needed for us to continue our service to Him and service to others. In God, there is life. In sin, there is only death. It's no secret that every human being desires to be happy. That's what we do. That's what we get up in the morning, that's what we go to work and do all the things that we do to be able to buy the things that are needed to sustain our lives and to have some happiness in life. Nobody intentionally does things to harm themselves. If we do, we call that a problem. But ordinarily, because we are people created by God who is life itself, we have a desire for life and a desire to be happy. But then the devil takes advantage of that. He'll take advantage of our weaknesses and make us think that if we have pleasure and do the things that will give us pleasure, then we find ourselves being joyful. But we're not. We've all had that very sad experience of falling into something or doing something that we think is going to bring us some kind of joy. Then afterwards we feel empty. We feel sad. We feel guilty or foolish, thinking, why did I even do this? Christ came that we would have life and have it in its fullness. As we heard in the gospel verse from the first letter of St. Peter, we were chosen by God to be a chosen race, that is, a Christian people belonging to God, a great nation that is His own. With that, He gives us the blessing of being a royal priesthood, offering prayers and sacrifices for the good of others, a holy nation announcing the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's what we're called. Out of sin, out of darkness, to live in the light of truth, of peace, and of grace. Therefore, if we wish to have the happiness that God promises His children, then we realize that the soul that wishes to possess this happiness will find it only in God. God alone is eternal. God has no beginning, God has no end. God never fails to satisfy the deepest longings of the human heart. Created things, on the other hand, have a beginning, they have an end. We all know that, we experience that. We sit down to a very good meal. The food smells good, it tastes great. We're enjoying ourselves immensely, all the while that the food is there. When the food is gone, what do we have? Nothing but indigestion and good memories. But the food is gone. God, however, is not exhausted. He's never depleted. Always there, always will be to fill us with grace, fill us with joy. To possess God, then we have to strip ourselves of everything that is not God. We tend to forget. As Christians, we are supposed to be dead to sin. We are, in reality, but sometimes we don't live like it. Let's go back to what St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans. He said, all of us who've been baptized, receiving baptism, were baptized into Christ, and being baptized into Christ means being baptized into His death. What happens at baptism is this: we're born under the curse of original sin. Baptism takes the original sin away and replaces it with sanctifying grace. We become, at that very moment, when the waters of baptism are poured and those words are said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we become saints. Now the question is, are we going to work out that salvation and retain that sanctity and grow in holiness, or are we going to do the opposite? But the will of God is that we live in grace, that we live in holiness. As St. Paul continues, we were indeed buried with Christ through baptism into death, His death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so were we, that we could live in the newness of life. Not to live like animals, not to live like unbelievers, but to live as sons and daughters of God, who believe that we have a divine purpose, which we do, to be good, to do good, to be holy, and to bring the presence of the Christ into the world. If then we have died with Christ, which we did, then we believe that we shall also live with Christ. It's the gateway to eternal life, but our life with the Holy Trinity begins here and now. Sons and daughters of God the Father, brothers and sisters of God the Son, baptized in the Holy Spirit to bring the presence of Christ to the world by our love, our charity, our self-control. As to his death, Christ died to sin once and for all, which he did. As to his life, he lives for God. And so it is with you and me. In baptism, we too died to sin, or should have, once for all. As to our life, we must live for God. Consequently, we must think of ourselves as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. As I said, sometimes we don't do that. Instead of listening to what the Lord himself says, we listen to popular opinion. We listen to other people. We listen to anybody and everybody who will tell us anything and everything other than what we need to hear and what we should be doing. The gospel gives us the truth. The world gives us a lie. The Lord said in the gospel, if we love anyone or anything, father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, friend, society, whatever created being there might be out there in the world, if we follow anything more than God, if we do not take up our cross, which is to live the Christian life, and follow after Christ, then we're not worthy of him. Is Jesus telling us not to love our parents? Obviously not. We are to love them. Or our sons and daughters, or brothers and sisters, or anybody? No. We love everyone. However, we cannot and must not cling so tightly to anyone or anything so as to block out grace. We cannot and must not cling so tightly to anyone or to anything so as to block out grace. Our first duty is to love God. If we love him, then as Jesus said, we must follow his commandments and do so out of love for him. That is, that we love one another because of God, for his sake and then for theirs. We take care of God's creation. We take care of one another for God's sake and for others. We don't put the focus on ourselves. We love others for God's sake first and their sake, not for our own. Yes, we must love and take care of ourselves, not for our own well-being, but to be able to be of service to God and others. The only time that we're allowed to put the focus on ourselves is to examine our souls and to examine our consciences to be able to abandon sinful inclinations and to live in grace. But we cannot cling to anyone or anything so as to block out grace. If anyone leads us astray from Christ, then we are to abandon what they say and what they do. It's been a very sad experience of mine as a priest to experience what other people will do when a man and woman come before the priest or deacon for marriage. They answer a few questions before exchanging their vows. One of those questions is, will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the laws of Christ and of his church? And they say, we will. Then when a child is born and about to be baptized, one of the questions that we ask the parents is, you have come here to bring this child to receive the sacrament of baptism, and by doing so, you're accepting the responsibility of training this child in the active practice of the Christian faith. Do you understand what you're doing? And everybody says, we do. But do they? Not always. How many times do I hear of parents who say, well, my kids are going to drink anyway. I know that they're underage. We have a party. We're going to buy the liquor for them. It's under supervision. It doesn't matter. You're still enticing them to do what? To sin. Well, they're going to have sex anyway, so I might as well buy the birth control for them. Again, you're an aid to their sin. I hear these kinds of things all the time. Parents who tell their kids, oh, you don't have to go to Mass this weekend because, and this I actually heard, it's Palm Sunday. The Mass is going to be too long. You don't have to go. Stuff like that. And it goes on and on and on. Fathers giving their sons money for a prostitute to have himself an experience and know how to be a man. And it just continues. Well, if these are the people who are supposed to be leading their kids to Christ and lead them astray, what does Jesus say about that? If anyone leads any of these little ones astray, it is better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and they be thrown into the sea. This is the Son of God who says that. So what are we doing? If we love anyone more than God, if we love anything more than God, if we're not willing to take up our crosses, that is, our own personal weaknesses, if we're not willing to take up the things that God allows to come our way to cause us suffering only to purify us, then are we worthy of God? And with that, are we worthy of eternal life? No. And whose fault is it? It's ours. Those of you old enough to remember the old Flip Wilson show, remember his catchphrase, "The devil made me do it." Okay? He doesn't. You are baptized in Christ. You've received sanctifying grace. The only power that the devil has over any of us in this church is the power that we're willing to hand over to him. All he can do is tempt. All he can do is entice. All he can do is suggest. And he can do so powerfully. He's evil, but he's not stupid. And he knows our weaknesses and will take advantage of them. But if we willingly choose to follow his way rather than God's, then we condemn ourselves. But Jesus says, whoever will finds his life in that way will lose it. But whoever will forfeit all of those things for my sake will find it. Chosen by God, not to live in darkness, but to live in his light. And so the saints have told us to get rid of every sin. Get rid even of venial sin, to perfect our imperfections by the grace of God. Willfully going away from things that lead us into sin. Excessive talking, avoiding silence, avoiding prayer, avoiding the sacraments, worrying more about things of this world than the next. All the things that usurp our mind, our bodies, our souls, taking us away from God. As St. John of the Cross put it, one single, unchecked, unmortified, disordered appetite, that is, one thing about us that leads us away from God that we don't try to correct, one little thing like that is sufficient to keep our soul in bondage and never be free. Baptism frees us to live as the sons and daughters of God. May we find ourselves doing so, opening ourselves to the love of God, giving away the love of God, and living as people who truly love God. I conclude with the words of St. Teresa of Avila. O blessed detachment, detachment from everything, all things that are lowly, that are worldly and perishable, to what a great and sublime state will you not raise me? You love me, my God, and for those who love you, your love is no small or insignificant thing. Why then should I not return your love with all my strength? It would be a great and happy exchange, my God, giving you my love and receiving yours. Why then should I not return your love with all my strength? It would be a great and happy exchange, my God, giving you my love and receiving only yours.